Hello, and welcome to another episode of Down the Rabbit Hole. Today, we're talking about Taylor Swift, but also you're joining me in my closet because I figured that would sound less echoey and I don't know, you'd hear my roommates less, but I brought my dog in here and it's a really tiny closet and she's kind of being a pain, so you might hear my dog. So I figured Taylor Swift is a broad topic, so I'm breaking it between albums and her life. So in this episode, we're talking about her life, mainly pre-fame. Her parents are Scott and Andrea. She was born in 1989 in West Reading, Pennsylvania. Her name comes from James Taylor, actually. Her parents liked James Taylor, so they named her after James Taylor. Yeah. She actually came back from school one day and, like, told her parents that her music teacher told them all about James Taylor and showed them his music. And then her parents were like, actually, that's who you're named after. I think that'd be such a wild thing. Yeah. She lived on a Christmas tree farm in Pennsylvania for a while. And then her brother Austin was born. She lived a normal life for about 12 years. Because she was a normal kid for about 12 years. And then at age 12, So Taylor got into drama and theater and choir music. And she really enjoyed that. So for a while, she would travel to New York for vocal and acting lessons. Yeah, so she'd travel there for lessons and travel back home. And then at 12 years old, there was a repairman, Ronnie Kramer. Kramer? I don't know. But he was over at her house and saw her guitar and just started asking questions about it. Like, you know, do you play the guitar? Do you know how? And she didn't. So he taught her how to play guitar. As Taylor got more serious into that, and wanting to, like, act or model or something, in 2003, her mom brought her to model for Abercrombie & Fitch. So, at this point, Taylor Swift is a model for Abercrombie & Fitch. And then, as she continues down this modeling path, she comes across Maybelline. And Maybelline has a compilation CD for Rising Stars. And Taylor Swift was actually put on this with her song, The Outside. So, Maybelline's compilation CD is Taylor's first debut. At age 14, her family moves to Nashville so that Taylor Swift can be closer to record labels, producers, music. For 2 years, goes to Henderson High in Henderson, Tennessee. But then she transferred to Aaron Academy so that Taylor could be online schooling. It would work better with her going to these different recording studios and trying to get signed. In 2004, she began meeting with a bunch of different songwriters, but one that really stuck was Liz Rose. And Liz Rose was with her for, like, a long time after that. They began meeting after school and writing songs, but I'm pretty sure she was writing with Taylor Swift until, like, maybe Reputation. I think that was her. Either Reputation was her last album that she wrote with Taylor, or 1989 was. Because I know she wasn't on Lover. Or Folklore, or Evermore. At this point, Taylor Swift is still 14, and she is the youngest person ever signed at the Sony-ATV Tree Publishing House. But she left at 14, because it wasn't like a label, so she couldn't, I don't think she could, like, produce albums. And she couldn't tour with this label, or this company, because it wasn't a label company. And then Also in 2004, Taylor Swift was showcased at the Bluebird Cafe, where she got up and sang a few songs, and Scott Bruschetta had noticed her. He was a DreamWorks Records executive, so he didn't have a label, but he told Taylor Swift, he was like, yo, like, I want to sign you. I want to sign you. I want to produce albums with you. And she was like, okay, yes, like, totally, for sure, because, you know, that's what she'd been wanting. So he had called her, and she was excited, but then he says, okay, I don't actually have a label, but I want to. It's a dream of mine to own my own record label. Just give me a year. So this girl gives him a year because, I don't know, she's 14, starry-eyed, just starting out. But he does. Scott Bruschetta opens Big Machine Records in 2005, and Taylor Swift was the first one signed. Her dad actually owned a 1/3 share. But yeah, it all worked out. And then in 2006, on October 24th, Taylor Swift released her first debut album called Taylor Swift, which is pretty dope. It was number 5 on the Billboard charts and spent 157 weeks there, which was the longest an album was on the Billboard's top 100 in the decade. I think I explained that weird, but longest it had been up there. After this, she went on to open for the Rascal Flatts for a select few shows. After they had fired Eric Church because he was playing too long, and it was actually a joke that he had said, like, you better send your first, like, gold record to me for getting fired and giving you this opportunity. And she literally did. She sent him her first gold record with a note attached saying something like, hey, thanks for playing too long and too loud, which I think is insane. And Taylor Swift was also the youngest person to write and sing their own song on the number one Billboard Hot Country Songs. So our song was number one on the Billboard's Hot Country Song, and no song ever, like, for a person that young, had ever been up there with them writing it by themselves. There had always been somebody to help them, but our song was purely Taylor Swift. In October of 2007, her Holiday album came out. In July of 2008, her EP called Beautiful Eyes came out. On November 11th, 2008 was Fearless. October 25th, 2010 was Speak Now. October 22nd, 2012 was Red. October 27th, 2014 was 1989. And this was her first pop album, was 1989. Each of them had progressively, like, gotten less country, but they were still technically country. But 1989 was, like, complete turnaround. Like, it wasn't country at all. And this was after she had lost Album of the Year with Red. That night, she had kind of just went home and decided, like, I'm done with country, because she thought she was winning it. They had, like, I can't remember what the album that beat hers was, but it shouldn't have. Like, no one heard of this album, man. Yeah, I already have it planned. Like, I'm having an episode purely over why Red should have won a Grammy. Like, literally, I wrote a whole essay on this in high school. I think I could just from memory explain to you why Red deserved a Grammy. But 1989 was her first pop album. Which, oh my gosh, you guys, that was such a good tour. Such a good tour. And then on November 10th, 2017, Reputation came out. For a while, that was, like, my favorite. Like, I feel like that was such a good album. That was such a good album. It was kind of a screw everyone album. Like, I don't care what you're saying. I don't care what you're doing. I'm doing me, and you can't tell me any different. Holy cow, it was so good. If you haven't heard it, I highly recommend. And then August 23rd, 2019, she released Lover. That was the first one, like, big studio album that she released that wasn't in November or October. That was a big deal. And then Folklore was a surprise album during quarantine, which was awesome. Folklore is, like, hands down probably one of my favorite albums of hers. Just because, like, I think it comes off that she just, like, she cares, but she's done caring. After she lost some award with Reputation, she decided she needed to make a better record, a better album, and that was Lover. And I think Lover has some very good, like, I found myself qualities in it, but Folklore and Evermore, like, I just feel like she completely let go of other people's opinions. But yeah, Folklore and Evermore are sister albums. Folklore was released July 24th in 2020, and then Evermore December 11th, 2020. And the only advertising, yeah, that's the best word I'm going to get for now. Yeah, was like 24 hours in advance. So they were very surprise albums, but they are some of the greatest I think she's ever released. They're very different, though. Taylor Swift has done a tour with Fearless, Speak Now, Red, 1989, and Reputation. But then the world kind of got shut down before Lover could have a tour. But I think that would have been a dope tour. I'm hoping she, like, has a Lover, Folklore, Evermore tour. You know, like, all three. But also, I don't want all three in one tour. Because I'd like to hear each of the tours. I think it's kind of funny, because I watched a sermon this morning, actually, over comparison and how that will literally just kill you. And I think that's kind of what it did. Like, maybe not what it did, because I think she was thriving either way. I think Taylor was finding herself and just wanted to make good music. But I think the comparing herself really put her in a box. Because I think she was looking at other people's music and saying, I need to do better. I need to, like, make a better album. I need to make a better record. I need to make better songs. I need to reach a different audience. And I think that really killed her. Because, I mean, yeah. You're going to pit your own music against somebody else's. It's never going to work well. Taylor Swift has also gone through a few relationships. First, Taylor Swift dated a few guys that nobody's really heard about, but Brandon Borello was her first boyfriend, and he inspired the song Tim McGraw. Their relationship ended because he had to go to college. Yeah, it wasn't like a bad thing. And then Jordan Alford, he inspired the song Picture to Burn. That's never a good thing to inspire. Just saying. Drew Hardwick. Yeah, Drew was Teardrops on My Guitar, Drew. But yeah, I don't think she actually dated him, though. He was a boy she liked, so she never dated him. And then Sam Armstrong was Should Have Said No. There are some really interesting pictures of them at prom together, but obviously he cheated. And then her first big relationship was Joe Jonas. He broke up with her over a phone call that was 27 seconds. It was a young little thing, so I mean, she was like 16. Her second boyfriend was Taylor Lautner. I really liked Taylor Squared. I'm gonna be honest. I was sad when they broke up. They broke up in 2010, early 2010, maybe even 2009, because Back to December was definitely about him. Then she dated John Mayer, which was weird, man. John Mayer was a really weird relationship because he was so much older and she was 19, so I guess it was all legal, but like, oh my gosh, he was like 34. And then she dated Jake Gyllenhaal, who inspired a lot of Red. Like, a lot of the album Red. But her and Jake were cute. I think they looked good together. She also dated Connor Kennedy. I think that one was really fast. It was kind of a fling. Then she dated Harry Styles. You guys, her and Harry Styles did not date long. I don't know why it's such a big deal that she dated him. It was a really quick relationship. I feel like people act like it was years, but it was a few months. And then she dated Calvin Harris. Dude, I thought he was the one. I really did. But then they broke up after a year and 3 months of dating. A year and 3 months. I was so sad. When I tell you, I literally cried and called my friend Hannah. Shout out to you, Hannah. You always hated him. I loved him. I thought he was so good. But then, I don't know, we started seeing like Bleachella, and that was rough. That was really rough. But shout out to Joe. Joe Alwyn. I mean, that's when he met her. That's when he met her. He met her at like some of her lows. Shout out to Joe. But right after Calvin Harris, she dated Tom Hiddleston. I think that was just, it was a rebound. It was a rebound. People have rebounds. She just rebounded in public. But that literally lasted like no time at all. And then she started dating Joe Alwyn. We love Joe Alwyn. Joe Alwyn is so cute. Like, I love them. They're adorable. She is with Joe Alwyn now. They've been together for over 3 years. And they're super cute. And there's actually like some speculation that they're married or that they're engaged. I think they could be engaged, but I don't think they're married. But also, I don't know. They're so private that you never know. But I think that's good for them. I really do like them. They're my favorite Taylor Swift couple so far. Joe Alwyn actually helped her write a few songs off of Evermore and Folklore under the name William Bowery. I think they're so cute. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I love them. And that's all I gotta say about that. But yeah, so next week we will be talking about Ted Bundy, my second favorite serial killer, which sounds so bad. Yeah. And then, trust me, there will be so much more Taylor Swift in the future that you don't want to miss, or that you do want to miss. So keep an eye out. You don't want to miss Taylor Swift, though. You really don't. And if you do, I don't know why you stumbled upon my podcast, but you're probably in the wrong place. Maybe. Please stay. Okay. Here's my crash landing. Thanks for listening.